During this season of Advent, I've been kind of resting with that word waiting. I've shared that in my newsletter article, and I shared it previously in a homily, that idea of Advent being this time of waiting, and that we're not that great at waiting, because waiting creates a powerlessness in us. It takes away control, and it's not a place that we feel very comfortable, and that many of us may experience that sporadically in our lives, but a reminder that there are people who live in that powerlessness, who live without that control. The immigrant who is just seeking a safe place to live, waiting. The farm workers who for years have waited for a living wage to pick the fruit and the vegetables that we eat at our tables. The list can go on of those at the edge, at the border, at the periphery, who are waiting. And so today, as I engage with these readings that we just heard, I kind of see that even being spoken of even more. Let me do a little teaching this morning. Maybe a little teaching, a little homily, but in our tradition, the readings that we read on Sundays are from the Revised Common Lectionary. In other words, these readings are all laid out for us over a 3-year period of time. And all Episcopal churches are hearing these same readings today. And to be honest with you, most Christian churches follow that same lectionary. And those readings are given to us to engage with. There may be some faith traditions that choose the readings for Sunday so they can say what they want to say, rather than letting the scriptures challenge us and engage us and call us to hear what it is saying. Usually, the first reading, that's oftentimes from the Hebrew scriptures, the Old Testament, and the gospel reading have something in common, a theme, a topic, a completeness to them. Sometimes that's very apparent. Sometimes you have to dig a little bit and find where that connection is. But today, I find, at least as I read this reading from Isaiah and this gospel reading, a real connectedness. And I want to just reflect on that with you this morning, keeping in mind that idea of those who wait. Isaiah was a prophet, generally speaking, in around the 700s BCE, before the Common Era. He was a prophet during a time which oftentimes happened in the history of the kingdom of Israel, the kingdom that had developed over so many years, that the kingdom was beginning to become very dependent on what it saw as the desire for power, the desire to defend itself. At this time, the Assyrians were about to kind of come in and besiege these people, and very much taken with the way to defeat that. And in the midst of that, I'm generalizing here, in the midst of that, ignoring the poor, ignoring the sick, ignoring the ill, ignoring the covenant and the trust that they had developed with God, almost like sort of walking away from that relationship, that covenant, and depending upon their own power, their own abilities. And oftentimes what the prophets did, and what Isaiah was doing, is calling people forth to remember the promise that God has given them and the commitment that we've made to God, to trust in God's generosity, trusting God's relationship with us. And so Isaiah, in this reading today, it's from the 35th chapter, pretty well into the book of Isaiah. It's really almost like a poem. It's almost like poetry. What Isaiah is challenging the people of that time is to, in the midst of the wilderness in which we find ourselves, it's not meant just the wilderness of the desert, but the wilderness of our lives. We have wilderness in our lives. And oftentimes, that's the place. That's the place where God can operate and change us and transform us. And what Isaiah is trying to do is paint the image, paint the picture of what the vision of God is for creation. And notice the lines that strike me are, Isaiah says, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy." You know, just that transformation of reality. That's the vision. That's the dream. And he puts it out there. Then we go to Matthew's gospel. And we encounter John the Baptist and Jesus. Now, we know from the scriptures, the Bible, that Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. John had this baptism of repentance. And Jesus is baptized, goes forth, beginning his ministry. And in this 11th chapter of Matthew, this is well into Matthew's gospel, we're reminded that John is in prison. It's interesting, it's from the mouth of a prisoner that this deepening of faith comes forth. And John is beginning, I wonder if John is beginning to wonder, he's hearing what this Jesus is doing, is this Jesus the one we're waiting for or not? Because the people in the time of Isaiah, the people in the time of Jesus, were really looking for a Messiah who would once again defeat our enemies, use power to overcome and overwhelm. And yet at many times forgetting the sense of their own faith, their own tradition of who they are, this covenant they've made with God. And so John the Baptist, the way I read this, is kind of wondering about that. I'm someone, I've shared this before, not everybody agrees with this, but scholars have pointed out that perhaps Jesus had been a disciple of John the Baptist. I find that very intriguing. While John went to the desert, Jesus went into the city. And Jesus is about his ministry. And we get this scene, if we did this like in a movie, John's in prison. And he says to some of his followers, go to him and is he the one? Is he the one we're waiting for? And in that question is kind of a sense of, because I'm not very sure of that. And it says in a very brief way, the followers, the disciples of John, go to Jesus and they say to him, are you the one? Are you the one who is to come? Or should we just wait for another? It's been the history of these people. We'll just wait for another. And notice how Jesus responds. Jesus doesn't give some sort of dogmatic, legalistic interpretation. You know, Jesus doesn't say, well, yes, I'm the one. I am the Messiah. I am the Son of God. I am a descendant of David. I mean, that's not what Jesus says. What does Jesus say? Are you the one? Jesus says, well, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. Lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the poor have good news brought to them. Go tell John that. Do you see that connection to the prophet Isaiah? Isaiah is giving this dream and this vision of something in the future. And in Matthew's gospel, we encounter someone, the Messiah, the Son of God, as the phrases that we've used, who is about that work, about tending to people at the edges, people at the periphery, people at the borders of society. And the gospel is proclaimed there. That's where Jesus is always proclaiming the gospel. I've always, years ago, a spiritual director of mine once said, if the gospel is not transforming the life of the poor or the outcast, it's not the gospel. It's just not the gospel. That's what the gospel is about. And Jesus is doing that kind of work. He's transforming people's lives. And so I just offer that thought to you this morning as we continue to gather, to enter into our waiting in our lives, identify with those. If anything during the season of Advent, we can at least identify and recognize that experience of waiting. And then find ways, as those five items on those red signs outside speak to us of, reach out into that kind of ministry to those who wait, those sometimes without much power or control, and let us enter into, besides being aware of it, entering into relationship with folks in ministry so that we are transformed and we are changed by those relationships. And we go forth into this world to change and make a difference and truly live the incarnation, Christ coming into this world, calling us to life, giving us life, and being a change and transforming presence in this world.